So I have some food items, Esmeralda, food products that flopped, and they should have flopped.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the first one. Coffee-flavored Jell-O.
That doesn't sound the worst.
And celery.
No. Wait, together?
Well, no, I think separately.
Okay,
here's what it says.
Good.
In 1918, the makers of Jell-O introduced a new flavor, coffee. Its release was based on the logic that since lots of people like to drink coffee with dessert, they'd be game for combining the two after dinner treats, which was not the case. The company soon realized that if anyone wants dessert coffee, they're going to have a cup of coffee. They're going to have a cup of it. Coffee wasn't Jell-O's only misstep. Cola-flavored Jell-O was sold for about a year starting in 1942. And for a brief while, the Clear Wiggly dessert was sold in celery and chocolate flavors.
You know, I think they should bring back the coffee one.
You would eat coffee Jell-O, coffee-flavored Jell-O?
I think, you know, how people, I mean, the way you make coffee or Jell-O nowadays, because you can do, like, those splits. Like, what if you did a cream?
And a cream and a coffee. Well, you know, the way that people consume coffee now is different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, everything is coffee-flavored now. There's much more coffee-flavored foods out there than there were in 1918.
Right. I think cola doesn't sound the worst either.
No, I don't think so. Celery does.
Celery, I feel like it has a place.
They had vegetable-flavored Jell-O. There were many different vegetables.
Yeah.
That flavored Jell-O.
I don't think I would be eating celery Jell-O on a just like, hey, let's have a snack.
Let's have a nice bowl of celery Jell-O.
Yeah, but I feel like if it existed, chefs would be using it.
Yeah, as part of a component of a dish or something.
I feel like they do that already. They just make their own gelatin stuff.
So, but you don't like, you're like, hey, honey, for dessert, let's have a big slab of celery-flavored Jell-O with a little Ready Whip on top.
Mmm.
Doesn't that sound great? All right. More terrible foods that flopped. That's coming up. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. News is coming up next. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we are going to be talking with Chris Miller and Modi Lavin of the Road Home program at Rush University Medical Center, a great program that helps soldiers and their families deal with and heal from the invisible wounds of war. You can check out roadhomeprogram.org. We'll get all the information about that and some of the upcoming events that are happening as well. And then we're going to tell you about some of the deals that are offered to veterans on Veterans Day, you know, from free meals to discounts on things. And we'll tell you all about that now, how veterans can and should take advantage of that stuff. And we honor our vets. Right now, we're going through some terrible food, bad ideas that flopped. So how about this one, Esmeralda? Ready bacon.
Mm.
It's R-E-D-D-I, as in Ready Whip.
Okay.
It says, any company smart enough to bless mankind with sprayable whipped cream and the sort that promotes direct-to-mouth feeding has got to know a thing or two about immediate gratification. But sadly, the makers of Ready Whip were unable to meld their keen understanding of human laziness with one of processed meat. They figured if you're cooking breakfast in the morning and you've got a hankering for bacon, why dirty up the pan that you only have to clean later? The solution, foil-wrapped Ready Bacon. You could pop into your toaster for piping hot pork in minutes. Well, it seemed like perfect for busy 1970s household. The absorbent pad designed to soak up the dripping grease tended to leak, creating not only a fire hazard, but also a really messy, if not totally ruined, toaster. Ultimately, the product lasted as long as it took to cook. The company scrapped it before it even went into market nationwide. That's just a bad idea.
It sounds wonderful, though.
Yeah.
Pop this in and hot bacon.
Yeah, but...
But yeah, I can see problems.
Yeah, that's a terrible fire hazard right there.
I was really thinking you were going to say, like...
Whipped bacon?
Bacon, yeah, bacon in a can. You squirt it
into your mouth. That sounds fantastic. Oh, man, that's going to end up on the show next week right there.
Couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, because I'm off next week, right? I'm off for two Fridays. What the hell, man? All right. So, how about Gerber Singles? Gerber Singles. In 1974, the company released Gerber Singles, small servings of food meant for single adults packaged in jars that were almost identical to those used for baby food. Didn't take long for Gerber execs to figure out that most customers, unless they were a year old, couldn't get used to eating pureed meals out of a jar, particularly one depressingly labeled Singles. Baby food for grown-ups was pulled from the marketplace shortly after its birth. That sounds pretty disgusting.
That sounds so sad.
It does.
Someone with just a whole cart full of these things.
Yeah, I'm gonna go home and eat my Gerber Singles. You remember when the Campbell's used to have soup for one? They used to. It was called soup for one.
Because that's what single people want.
Yeah, they want to be
real depressing foods.
I want to make sure everybody knows that I'm alone.
I want every moment of my life
focused
on the fact that I am single.
Soup for one. You know, they made a movie called Soup for One.
How sad was it?
It was about, well, it was about a guy single having trouble with relationships, but it was like right when the, you know, that product was still out, and you know, the movie made commentary about Soup for One. If I'm not mistaken, Dan, could you look this up? I believe the lead in Soup for One was Saul Rubinek. Well, you know, a household name, Saul Rubinek.
You are correct.
That's just so. It's sad that I know that. That I know that the star of Soup for One was Saul Rubinek. Saul Rubinek's been in a lot of good movies. He was in Unforgiven. He's been in a ton of good stuff. Yeah, and he was also in Soup for One. Gerber Singles. Did you ever hear this Larry David story, Esmeralda, about when he was living in New York in his crappy old apartment?
No.
He was living in New York, and it was just this apartment. He hated it. He wasn't really making any money. He was all by himself, living by himself. And he tells the story about how he told the story on Jimmy Kimmel show, where he was living in this apartment and he would eat, you know, he'd have a meal and then he would just not do the dishes and they would pile up, you know, so he'd have a sink full of dishes and, you know, and stuff. So he was like, he got sick of it. He's like, who wants to do dishes? I don't want to do dishes. So, instead of, you know, like doing dishes, he threw out all of the dishes that he had and all of the silverware except for one fork and one plate. So that every time he ate, he, you know, he had to clean the plate and he goes, I don't need all these dishes. I don't need piles of dishes. So that was the thing. So, and he said, I never had any company. I never wanted anybody to come over. So I just had one plate and one fork. And Jimmy Kimmel's like, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
He streamlined.
He did. It was funny. What's really funny is that I they were doing a preview of Curb Your Enthusiasm, the new season of Curb, and they were talking with people who knew Larry David back in the day, and somebody told a story about how he went over to Larry David's. He was over at Larry David's apartment, and he only had one plate and one fork, and they ordered Chinese food, so they had to like switch off. Oh, man. The thing about Larry David is he's a head case even when he's not, you know, like that's I don't think that the Larry David that he plays on Curb is a lot different than Larry David in real life. You know, I think there's a lot of Larry David in the Larry David of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Okay, how about this? Breakfast Mates. You remember Breakfast Mates?
No.
Sometimes new products fail because they're simply bad ideas, like new Coke. Yeah, but by the way, I was working at the Jewels when the new Coke was unveiled, and people were screaming at me about it. And I'm like, look, I just put it on the shelf. I didn't make it. This was before they brought the Coke Classic back, you know, before it became Coke Classic, when they brought the new Coke out. You can't even imagine how angry people were. Like, they're yelling at me. I'm just like a stock guy at the Jewels. Like, leave me alone. Don't yell at me. I just put the stuff on the shelf. Other times it's because they're just impossible to market. Such was the case of Breakfast Mates. The idea was simple. A small box of cereal, a container of specially packaged milk with no refrigeration required, and a plastic spoon. it's a perfect AM answer for the person on the go who enjoys warm milk on cereal. Try to patch up one mistake with another. Kellogg's then moved the product to the dairy section, where no sane person looks for cereal. On top of all of that, it was the price. For about $1.50, you got 4 ounces of the stuff. Breakfast mates were deemed too expensive for most consumers. After 2 years, Kellogg's pulled it from the shelves. I don't remember Breakfast Mates.
No, I don't either. But, you know, again, it seems like a nice idea.
I guess.
Just because sometimes you don't want to bring... I mean, you can't... Sometimes you can't eat breakfast when you're at home and you have to...
Right. You
go
can't,
to work.
You don't want to bring a box of cereal and a gallon of milk to work.
And a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
And they don't really sell tiny boxes of milk.
No. I mean, you can get a carton. You can get a small carton like they used to have in school.
They have... Can you?
I think you can, sure.
The supermarket?
Yeah. We used to be... When I worked the dairy department, we had those.
Because I know they have kind of to go, you know, of milk, but it's still kind of big.
I mean, it's the smallest one. Maybe because I don't buy single. Because you, as you know, I need a gallon of
milk.
I
mean, a gallon for you would be
that's,
your to-go.
That's like my 5-day supply. It's a 5-6-day supply is my gallon of milk.
Oh, I thought it was just a day.
Well, no, it's not a day. We discussed this actually while you were gone, Esmeralda.
My
milk intake, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But is it just quarts now? Is that the smallest that they have?
No, I mean, they have like, you know, handy.
Oh, yeah, the little like plastic bottle.
Right,
yeah.
But I feel like that's still too big if you're just going to eat cereal.
A little too much.
Right.
Yeah. Breakfast Mates. I wonder when that came, when that was out. I wonder if I was working at the Jewels when that was out. Because I don't remember it at all. I definitely don't remember it being in the dairy department because I was a dairy dude for many years when I was at the Jewels.
This says 1998.
Oh, okay. Well, I was definitely not working at the Jewels then. How about this? Flour-flavored Pez.
No. Why?
I don't know. Introduced in the late 60s, flour-flavored Pez was designed to appeal to the hippie generation and came complete with a groovy psychedelic dispenser. Hey, I wonder if that's like a collector's item. You know what I mean? If they had like the flour-flavored Pez psychedelic dispenser. I wonder if that's like on eBay for like $900.
Yeah.
I bet it is. But even in the decade of free love, no love could be found for the flavor power of flour. Floral scents make for a great perfume, but nobody eats perfume, and apparently there's a reason why. The flour version flopped and became the next addition to Pez's long and disturbing list of flavor failures. Since its introduction in 1927, the company also sold coffee, licorice, eucalyptus, menthol, and cinnamon flavors. Well, the cinnamon one doesn't sound bad to me. Cinnamon Pez, that doesn't sound bad.
Did they have lavender? Because isn't there that gum?
Yeah, there's that. What's the lavender gum? It comes in it's the silver package with the purple writing. And I can't remember what it's called. It's like lavender flavored gum.
Yeah. Ugh. No, thank you.
Cowards?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. How about this? An item called I Hate Peas! With an exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as children have been shoving Brussels sprouts under mashed potatoes and slipping green beans to the dog, parents have been hunting desperately for a way to end the vegetable hate. Finally, in the 1970s, American Kitchen Foods, Inc. came to the rescue, or at least tried, with the release of I Hate Peas. Since kids love French fries so much, the company decided that disguising peas in a fry-shaped form was a surefire way to trick tots into getting their vitamins. Not a chance. Children all over America saw through the ruse. After all, a pea is a pea is a pea is a pea. And the name of the product was more than apropos, no matter what they looked like. They were thinly disguised vegetables. There were other thinly disguised vegetables in the company's I Hate line, but kids hated those too. That's just a dumb idea.
Yeah, don't call them what they are.
Right. Yeah. And were they green? Like, I mean, obviously.
I'm looking at the package online, and they're brown.
Oh, they are.
They look like
regular
fries.
But they tasted like peas.
They're a little rectangular, a little more long rectangular.
It's still a bad idea. Of course, that was from the 70s. Of course.
I bet they would fly as long as you didn't call them I hate whatever it is.
Yeah. I hate green beans. Here, eat some of your I hate green beans, yeah. Son. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Nick. I think a lot of this junk you're talking about, they tried out on us when we were in the Army, because we had this stuff called shelf life milk.
Oh, no.
Which sounds like that junk you were talking about in the packages.
Yeah.
You know, no refrigeration, just like a juice box with a straw on it.
Oh, man.
And you could get white or chocolate.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
Yes. And then they have like shelf life bread, which was like a little loaf of bread that was vacuum packed. And who knows how long that was. But when you ran out of hand grenades, you could just flip them like a frisbee at the enemy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of that junk they tried out on us in the military, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. I'm glad you're still around after eating that stuff, Rich.
Well, I never ate. That's why I was always skinny in the Army. Then I got out and put on 100 pounds because I finally got to real food.
You got some food, right. Oh, well, happy Veterans Day tomorrow then, Rich.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Okay.
And tell your partner up there in the newsroom, happy Veterans Day and welcome home from me, too.
All right, buddy. We got it. All right, Rich, take care.
All right.
Yep. We're going to take a quick break here on WGN. We'll come back and wrap up the bad food ideas story coming up after this. Hey. Welcome back. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio here till 5 a.m. And it's Friday. Fly Jams Friday is coming up, so get your funky requests going. 312-981-7200. We'll also have Nick D Show Spies. We've got Straight Out of Context and You Big Dummy all coming up. And then after the 3 o'clock news, we will talk with Chris Miller and Modi Lavin of the Road Home Program at Rush University Medical Center. Give you all the details on that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we've been talking about bad food ideas, like just not good, you know, like vegetable flavored Jell-O and flour flavored Pez. And I hate peas. Next, here we have the chicken dinner candy bar. The chicken dinner candy bar. See, right there, that just sounds like a mistake. Fortunately for gastrointestinal tracts worldwide, this candy bar didn't actually include chicken on its list of ingredients. And equally lucky for Sperry Candy Company, which introduced the treat in the 1920s, consumers actually figured this one out on their own. The company introduced the chocolate and peanut butter bar at the onset of the Depression, hoping the name would give consumers the feeling that they were about to have a big home-cooked meal at grandma's house. Hence the juicy roast chicken on the advertisements. This is so stupid. Strangely, the gimmick worked. Even well after the economy recovered, the chicken dinner candy bars were available up until the 60s. Does this mean it qualifies as a true marketplace flop? No, but we put it on the list anyway because it sounds like it really should have. Did it sound like it really should have been? Wow, that's weird. The chicken dinner candy bar and its chocolate and peanut butter. All right. Glenn sends in a text that says, I vote to bring back coffee Jell-O too. Oh, we've got some people who would enjoy coffee Jell-O. Nice slab of coffee Jell-O. Okay. Glenn says he does. 773 area code says lavender flavored gum violets. Yeah, that's it. Violets. It's silver package with the purple writing on it. 574 says space food sticks. I love those as a kid. Stole them out of my dad's lunch. Space food sticks were actually a big success. That was not a flop. They were a big success. I used to eat them all the time. Space food sticks. All right. How about this? Hugh Blaine's Wine and Dine. In the mid-70s, Hugh Blaine introduced Wine and Dine, an upscale, easy-to-make dinner that included a small bottle of vino. How refined, how decadent, how confusing. Consumers knew Hublin for their liquor and wines, so how were they supposed to know the wine included in Wine and Dine was an ingredient for the pasta sauce? Hasty consumers didn't read the directions closely and ended up pouring the contents of the bottle in a nice glass and getting a less than pleasant mouthful of salted wine. All right, how about this? Funky fries. Esmeralda, I think you would enjoy this. In 2002, hoping to follow up the success of Heinz's new Kitty ketchup versions that came in green and purple. Do you remember that? The colored
ketchup? I remember seeing those, yeah.
Yeah. Orida introduced funky fries. Chocolate-flavored, cinnamon-flavored, and blue-colored French fries. Awful lot of money was sunk into this product. But after a year of marketing, consumers still found the idea funky in a bad way. Funky fries were pulled from the shelves in 2003, and images of blue fries with green ketchup were once again relegated to the world of Warhol-esque pop art.
Wait, so they were, you had to bake them or whatever?
Yeah, they were all right. I see. You'd stick them in the oven.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was thinking they were just fry-shaped and then they were chips or something.
No, these are, it's Orida, so you stick them in.
Because that would be cool.
What?
Just blue chips, but they'd be crunchy, you know?
Well, there are blue chips.
What do you mean?
You can get tortilla chips, you can get them in the color
right,
blue.
But you know, these are like Technicolor.
Oh, you mean like neon colored?
Right.
Oh, okay.
But they'd be, you know, like fries, but chips. you know what I mean? Like ready, just like in a store with the chip, in the chip aisle kind of fries.
So you don't have to prepare them.
Right.
Like you open up a bag and you go.
Crunch.
Crunch.
Done.
Okay.
That I'm sure would work.
I think they already have products like that. I'm pretty sure that they
blue
do.
Blue ones?
Maybe not blue ones, but. All right. How about this one? Pepsi AM.
I vaguely remember that.
Creating a super caffeinated soda worked well for the makers of Red Bull, but not for the folks at Pepsi. With 25% more caffeine than a cup of Joe, PepsiCo introduced the cola-flavored product in 1989, only to discover that most people just couldn't bring themselves to drink soda with their cornflakes. For those who wanted a Pepsi in the morning, regular Pepsi did just fine. Pepsi AM, like the coffee-flavored Pepsi Kona before it, was scrapped after a few months.
Oh, what I'm thinking of is Coke had coffee, too. They had a coffee-flavored one.
Yeah. I think we're discovering that every single item has a coffee flavor. That's pretty much what we've learned from this segment, is that every food product has tried a coffee flavor.
Coffee-flavored gravy.
Coffee flavor.
Actually, isn't that Red Eye?
That's Red Eye gravy, yeah.
Red Eye gravy.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. I remember when I worked the night crew at the Jewels, when I was on overnights at the mm-hmm. Jewels, I drank like a 2 liter of Jolt every shift, which had like nine times the caffeine of like a regular thing. That explains my sleep disorder to this day. All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up next. And then we're going to talk about the Road Home program at Rush University Medical Center in honor of Veterans Day. All right, we'll take a quick break. News is coming up.